Hey, listen, we've been going through these sermon series, is that a word? And I want to do a little review. I want to talk a little bit about the one I did here a few weeks ago called The Comeback. We talked about how God is just fully invested in our redemption. Remember that? He's just fully invested our salvation, our redemption. We talked about how he's just fully invested in our rescue. He's going to rescue you. We talked about that. Fully invested in us, our resurgence, going from where we're at to where he wants us to be and just moving us ahead. We talked about how he is fully invested in our reward. What a powerful day that was. We talked about this was just an opportunity to change. For you and I to come back out of this situation that we've been living for 2-3 months and come back and say, it's going to look different. And it's going to look different. A new beginning, a better you and a better me. We made a commitment that day, that last Sunday, that we were going to do it better. We committed to come back and do it different and better than we ever did it. And on June 7th, your pastor's going to expect that. I'm going to expect the place to be packed and us to come in ready for the next season that God has for us. But then God's done this amazing thing. My wife took the pulpit last Sunday, and I couldn't have asked for a better leadway into the next series that I was going to preach starting today called The Pursuit. She had no idea what I was going to speak on. The Holy Spirit just orchestrated the most amazing thing. Not that I question that ever, because that's exactly what God does. But let's just talk about here for a minute about what she spoke on last week and watch what happens. You know, her title was Making the Most of the Season You Are In. The season we're in right now. The season you're going to be in the future. The Bible talks about seasons, periods of time, and making the most of that season. And she said things like this: accept the season that you're in right now. Right here, today, accept that. She talked about learning what God was trying to teach you and I during the season. What is God saying to us? She talked about that. She also said the big one, which I really like. It says, just be quiet. Sometimes we just need to be still, be quiet, and know that God is God, and he's got it all under control. Just stop and let God speak to us. Just be quiet. She talked about being expectant. I expect something. She talked about, and I've got to mention my sermons I've talked about in the past, how there's an expectation. There's an expectation, and when that's in your heart and your spirit, and you're expecting God to move, God shows up, he honors that. And she concluded by saying, let's be desperate for God. Desperate for God. You know, put some action behind the wait. Wow, that's powerful. You know, I went to her this past week, and I said, can I borrow your notes? You know, she looks at me, she says, oh, you want to steal my stuff, you know, because I teased her before. I said, you're stealing my stuff, when she was mentioning some of the things that I preached on. So she sends me her notes, and I want to give you her thought here, because this could not have been. I knew right away when I, you know, listened to her last week, I knew this was just going to be perfect for setting the stage for what I was going to speak on today in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Here's what she said. Listen, it goes like this. I've discovered that waiting on God is an active pursuit, there's that word, of his will, of his ways, of his plans. It's an active pursuit of him. There's the word pursuit. I thought, wow. And then she says this, and this really hit home with me. She says, listen, turn your season of waiting into the active pursuit of the heart of God. Seek him, know him, love him, share life with him. When I've turned a passive attitude of waiting into an active pursuit of life with God, I've found so much joy and learned so much about him that I might not have learned otherwise. I've learned how to focus more on him. And waiting on him and learning how to wait on him. And then she concluded by this statement, which was just absolutely awesome. Peace replaces restlessness. Contentment replaces anxiety. You know, how could you have started my series on pursuit any better than her being challenged by God to talk about things like pursuing him, knowing him more, loving him more, learning more about him, all during the wait? It was just awesome. So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to do exactly that. We're going to start this pursuit after God, and we're going to talk about four primary things. And today we're going to talk about pursuing what? What are we going to pursue? What does that look like? What's to pursue? What is it? Then we're going to move into the following week to talk about where is it? Where's the pursuit at? When's it going to happen will be the following week. When's this thing going to take place? And then, church, I'm going to tell you the last one will be on June 7th. How? How do we do the pursuit? Will be on June 7th, back here in Calvary Church, launching the next season that God has for you and I, not only in our church, but in our families, our jobs, our community, whatever. God's got you on this mission, and you're going to see in the next few weeks exactly what that mission looks like and how you're going to execute it. But today we're going to talk about what the pursuit is. What is it? And that pursuit starts today. It starts today. And let me tell you, in 4 weeks, we're going to end it on the how. And here's the whole thing kind of is going to wrap around this thing that you're reading about in the news. This thing called the new normal. If I hear that one more time, I know I'm going to have it in my message. But I tell you what, if somebody tells me I've got to have this new normal, I'll tell you what the new normal is going to be. You stick around for the next 4 weeks, you're going to find out what that new normal really looks like. For the Church of Jesus Christ, for you, for Calvary Church here in Canton, Ohio, this is what it's going to look like. And we're going to talk about that new normal. And they're saying it's going to be a return to the new normal. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you a little story here. I'm going to talk about this new normal stuff a little bit this morning. You know, you've watched here the last, it's been weeks and weeks and months. We had a keyboard player here that was with us. He's not here today, and his name's Tim Longbreak, and I spoke to Tim in detail this morning. And I talked to him about what I wanted to speak on, and he says, "You've got to go for it, Pastor." And I asked him, I said, "Well, I got to use you as an example because you are the perfect example today." He says, "Pastor, whatever it is for God, I'll do." And he was here playing with us for a while, and I've got to know him and his wife, Michaela, for, you know, we've known him now for, what, roughly 2 years or so. And he's not here today, and he'll be back here in a few weeks for a short season, and then he'll be gone on another pursuit. But I want to tell you a little story about him and his wife, Michaela. Now, his wife, Michaela, left for the Marines here a couple months ago. Well, that's a tough gig right there. Marines, you know, I don't know if I could do it. I know many of you have, and, you know, I'm pretty athletic for an old guy, but I don't know if I could handle that, especially when I was even younger. I don't know if I could handle it. But she takes off and goes and joins the Marines, and the blessing of her family and her husband, but wow, what a situation. But I want to talk to you a little bit about what the story is that has come back to us here in the last few weeks. See, she leaves. Tim continues to stay here local at Canton, Ohio, and she's down on Paris Island, which is where they train for the Marines. And he's playing with us on the worship team and doing a fantastic job. What a great heart, great spirit. But he told me that things were rough for him. He told me that things just weren't coming together with him for him for the last few months, even before his wife left for the Marines. And he said his life started to change when I started preaching on fear and faith. If you remember, weeks ago, we had a series on that, Faith Overcomes Fear. It's online at calvarylife.church if you want to check it out again. He said, God started to touch his life and move him when I started those preaching series throughout those weeks. And then he said it all came to kind of a head for him on the comeback series, especially the last week. Because that's when I said, you got to just be there. Matthias was on the front lines with Jesus, if you remember. He wasn't one of the original disciples, although today we kind of recognize him as one of the 12. And he just showed up all the time. No big sermons, no big music, no big production. He's just there. And he was rewarded for his faithfulness of just showing up, because he was selected as one of the disciples to replace the one that betrayed Jesus. And Tim would tell me, Tim Longrake would say, you know, Pastor, that just got to me. And he said, I've got to do exactly what God's laying on my heart to do. So what he did was he took off and he headed down to Paris Island. Can't see his wife because of the current COVID situation, but he said, I just had to be there. And he started making this transformation from where he was to where God was trying to get him to be. And he sets his sights to pursue something he could not see. So he takes off. The big challenge, if you know, if you've watched the Facebook post, if you follow him online, and was, how do I get on the base? That's a challenge. And he had it all laid out. The process. This was going to have to happen, and this is going to have to happen, and all these things. He had it all lined up. But I don't want to belabor the story, because he just went down there and showed up. And when he showed up, he ran into the drill sergeant that was leading the recruits that his wife was in, that platoon, the battalion. He ran into him one day, and they had a conversation, brief. And he says, listen, I can get you onto the base. Forget all this paperwork. Here you go. He signs him onto the base. See, that never would have happened if he wouldn't have been there. God immediately showed him that if you just show up, sometimes God will just bless it right there. So he did. And listen to this. So now he has access to a base he probably shouldn't have had access to the way he got it, but they just invited him and signed that paper, and off he goes. And then while he's on the base, he runs into somebody else. And I'm going to call the title of the person he ran into, because I don't want to say the name. But the title is Sergeant Major of the United States Marines. My understanding is Sergeant Major's title is that that's the highest ranking enlisted man or woman that you can go up on the ladder as far as your rank if you're enlisted. This person oversees all the recruits, everything going on, and my understanding is this particular person oversees everything that these recruits do and what they go through on the East Coast. This is a high-level person. God allowed Tim to come across this gentleman. Another conversation starts, and he says, listen, would you like to attend the ceremony when your wife becomes a Marine? Not the graduation that's going to take place, which is the big public event, but see, the United States Marines, when they get done their last intensive training called the Crucible, intense, I think it's like 50-some-odd hours of intense training, and they go through that. If they successfully complete that, they end up going to the emblem ceremony. And there, they are sworn in as United States Marines. And they are handed this emblem. And this emblem has an eagle, a globe, and an anchor. This is a big deal. For those Marines or former Marines, you know what this means. And And this sergeant major told Tim Longray, he says, listen, how would you like to go to that ceremony? See, you don't understand. No civilian goes to that ceremony. It's a closed ceremony during COVID. And Tim looks at him and says, what do I got to do? Be there. Show up when I tell you, where I tell you, and just do exactly what I tell you to do, and that's stand beside me. If you stand beside me, nobody will question you at all. He says, okay. Tim shows up, stands beside the sergeant major, the head guy, just watching the emblem ceremony, talks to nobody. Usually the sergeant major doesn't speak to anybody, just oversees. And Tim's standing beside him watching his wife get sworn in as a United States Marine. What a huge thing. He went down there in pursuit of trying to do all these things and ends up standing next to the highest ranking enlisted man in the United States Marines, overseeing all activities on the East Coast that have to do with recruiting. And here he is standing there, says nothing, and then the next amazing thing happened. This man who talks to no one normally and does no shaking of hands, it just is there, Tim, and he calls out Michaela Longbreak. Drill Sergeant, where is the recruit named Michaela Longbreak? Where is she? Right here. I mean, they, of course, it's just so out of the ordinary for this to happen. And they said, right here, right here. And he shakes her hand. And Tim witnessed all that. See, this is completely out of the ordinary. It just doesn't happen, I'm told. And I pray I didn't get any of the facts wrong, but I don't think I did because I just talked to Tim here a couple hours ago, and that's exactly how he laid it out. And, you know, you end up pursuing God and doing what God's told you to do in this time of wait, and you just go, and all of a sudden God says, okay, I will honor that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me ask you this. Here's a question. Do you ever get caught up about the end result, but you lose your way on how to get there? You know, do we get so focused on, I've got to go see my wife, that we actually lose how to end up landing there? It's happened to me all the time. Has it ever happened to you? That's what I want, but I, you know, I'm going to get this. I'm going to move. I'm going to pursue it. How do I get there? And you kind of lose your way. You kind of go down all these, you know, these pathways to get there, and you really don't end up getting there. If you end up getting there, you're exhausted because it just, you know, it's like you're going through a maze. Let's go to Genesis 12, 1 through 4, and I'm going to read you a story and watch this come to life. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, it reads like this. The Lord says to Abram. Now, this is before Abram, as you recognize the name. Later, he's renamed to Abraham. Right here, he's Abram. So God himself says to this ordinary man, go from your country where you're hanging out, where you live, your Canton, Ohio, you know, where you grew up, where you don't have any other place to go. I want you to leave this country, your family, your people, it says, and leave your father's household to go to a land that I will show you. I'll show you after you leave. But go first. Verse 2 says, I will make you into a great nation after you go. I will bless you after you go. I will make your name great after you go. I will be a blessing in your life. Verse 3 says, I will bless those then who bless you after you go. And whoever curses you, I will curse. In other words, anyone that comes against you, I will come against them. And all the people on earth will be blessed now through you if you go. So Abram went. I'd go too, I think. I would hope. Just as the Lord told him to do. See, that's what Tim did. Tim started to pursue an end result of seeing his wife. Abram says, if you would just get up and leave, this is what I'm going to give you. Now, that's a lot of trust. Tim didn't even know that. Tim went blind trust. That's what really intrigues me about the story. Let me tell you a few points about Abram here. Let me read you a few things. One of the most important figures in the Bible, apart from Jesus himself. It's through the lineage of Abram, that the Savior of the world, Jesus, shows up. In many ways, the story of redemption begins with God's call to Abram right here. Abram was the first man selected by God for the role in the plan of redemption. God called Abram first. The story of Abram, contains the first mention in the Bible of God's righteousness assigned to man as the sole reason for his salvation. You got to be righteous. Abraham, you got to be righteous. The first guy. Wow. The God come in and called. It was Abraham whom God selected simply because it was God's will. Think about that. No other big reason, that's big enough. God's will says, I want that guy. God's will says, I want Tim Longbreak. God's will says, I want Pastor. God's will says, he wants you. Right there in your living room, right now, he wants you. That's a powerful, powerful statement. God comes looking for me and comes looking for you. It was Abraham who God selected because he just wanted him. It's just amazing. I just want that guy. God knew that Abraham would struggle with pursuing the call set before him, but God also knew that the pursuit would produce great growth and faith in his life. God knew that. See, God took the guy that wasn't perfect and made him something big. And Abraham pursued it all. What's the purpose, Pastor, of this pursuit to this new normal? What's that look like? What is God trying to do with us? What's God trying to do with Tim Longbreak when he headed down south? What's God trying to do with Abraham? What is God trying to do during the process? Hold on and watch. God's trying to teach me to be obedient in my pursuit. Oh my gosh, that's just so hard to do. Be obedient. See, we don't like that word. We don't like to be obedient because that requires a behavior from us to do something that sometimes we just don't want to do. Sometimes we just don't like it. You know, I know the story of Abraham and his wife. You know, they were told they were going to have a child, and be obedient and wait, and I'll give you a child. Well, come on. If you know the story, that's pretty. They're pretty old. I'm not saying they're really old, 75 years old or so. The Bible kind of speaks to that, a little bit older probably. But to have a child, it's kind of getting up there, right? That's kind of getting up there. God was going to test him on something, his obedience. God was going to test our obedience. He tested Abraham on obedience. He's going to test me on obedience. He tested Tim on being obedient by just going and showing up. And that has been revealed to him more than ever now, because if he wouldn't have been obedient and showed up, he never would have gotten the reward that we also talked about. He never would have had it. But he was obedient and he went and showed up. His faith had to be tested and his obedience had to show up. Here's the thought for you. Sometimes our pursuit just starts late in life, but it's never too late. Pastor, it's just too late for me. I'm just too old. No. No. You're just getting started. Because when God starts your pursuit, that is the beginning, no matter how old you feel or look or think you are. It's God who determines your steps. It's God who puts the plan in place. It's God who starts the pursuit. It's God who wraps his arms around you during the process of the pursuit. It's God that gives you the reward when the pursuit reaches its destination. What's another purpose of this pursuit, Pastor? Number two, it overcomes our disbelief. It overcomes our disbelief. God puts us in this pursuit of something, and this pursuit of what? This new normal. I hope we're going to be different. But this disbelief and this story back to Abraham and Sarah, his wife, you're going to have a child, and we're too old to have a child. And what did they do? The Bible says they laughed. And then God says to Sarah, the wife, you're laughing. No, I didn't laugh. And she lied. I didn't laugh. No, not at all. The Bible says Abraham just fell on the floor and, you know, in symbolic worship of God, and I'm so sorry. And yeah, we do that. See, that's what we do. We laugh. God, there is just no way. Somebody's being asked right now in their living room to do something for God, especially when we come back on the 7th of June. God's moving on, and you're saying, there's no way I can do that. And then we kind of chuckle. That's what happened. 86 years old, they had a son. But see, they advanced it a little quicker than what God wanted. Ishmael was born, if you know the story. It's not God's plan. It wasn't his perfect will. But then Isaac shows up a few years later. Now there's where God was. That was the pursuit. The lineage was supposed to pursue from that union. And it did. See, we get ahead of God. Here's a great thought for you. He says, God doesn't rule us out when his incredible promises are hard for us to see. What does that mean? He doesn't give up on us. Even though we may question and sometimes chuckle or laugh and say, there's no way, God, doesn't mean God gave up. In fact, the story says he just pursued them more and did exactly what the scripture says he was going to do, made him a great nation. And Jesus Christ came from that bloodline. It's kind of like here, you know, I remember coming to the church here a couple years ago, and I had this vision. My wife and I said, listen, God told us this. This is what it all looks like. And you know, I can't say people laughed. They just were really intrigued. What does that look like? Well, we're going to do these things and renovate, and we're going to change that building over there into a worship center. And now look at you online. See, that's what you got to do. You just got to pursue nonstop. And maybe some people around you say, I don't see it, Pastor, and I had that. I don't see it happening. I don't think it happened. Yes, it does. If you don't quit, if you just show up and maintain the pursuit. What else is there? What else are we trying to learn? What is this all about in this pursuit? What other purpose of this pursuit is there? Well, it's going to build my patience, because Nicole talked about that last week. It's going to build patience. Oh, there's that word. Nicole said it like this. She said, waiting on God is an active pursuit. Wow, you always think that pursuing is action of movement. She says last week, and I think she's right on. Waiting on God is an active pursuit of his will, his ways, his plan. It's an active pursuit of God. Abraham became impatient with God. He took matters into his own hands. Him and his wife ends up just being impatient, not being obedient. They have a child early, because they didn't think they could wait any longer because they're old. Pastor, I'm older now. God's called me to this ministry, and I'm just waiting on God. Well, sometimes he's just waiting on you. You need to pursue. God's promise was the offspring of Abraham and Sarah, was Isaac. We talked about that. That was the union. That was what God was waiting for. Here's the great thought for you. Sometimes our impatience will prolong the pursuit. Makes it longer. We create our own problems. We're so impatient, we have to make it happen. And we just kind of make it longer. Sometimes our impatience will prolong the pursuit. Think about that. The fourth thing, here's another thing. What's another purpose of the pursuit? To build your perseverance. What does that look like? Pastor, I think I've persevered a lot. James 1:3 says it like this, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Many of us would say, well, then I've got to be just loaded with perseverance, right? I've got to be just perfect in perseverance because I have endured all this stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't say that. Don't say that. Because God will just leave you there longer. He'll leave you there longer. How does he do this, Pastor? How does he test my faith for this perseverance thing? I'm going to give you four quick things. Take a couple seconds. And I want you to think about it. In your life, take a sip of coffee. Think about this. God will test your faith through difficulty. Let me tell you, it's been difficult the last 3 months. Could have been worse. Could have been worse. Some people had it really bad. Some people lost loved ones and lost lives. And businesses are closing. That's a test of perseverance. Difficulty is really a test of perseverance. What about this one? Testing your faith through demands. God places a demand on you and says, this is what I want you to do. And he says, I want to see if you're going to carry that through. Let's see if he pursues that. There's a lot of demands there. Only you know what God's demanding of you, and only I know what God's demanding of me. I can tell you right now, God's demanding some things from me, and I sit back and say, boy, that's a lot. That's a lot. And that's okay, right? God will test you your faith through your dollars. Your dollars. What? Yeah, that's exactly what he does. See, I try to tell you what God's going to do, and how he does it, and how he tests us, and he'll test you through the dollars. Showed up here today. It was so perfect timing. I'm coming into the church to speak to you. And someone pulls up in the drive of the church, flags me down, says, Pastor, I have something here. And he walks over to me and hands me a sealed envelope. He says, that's my tithe and my offering. And then he goes on to tell me how he arrived at that figure. God did this, God did this, God did, you know, all this, and here. See, the test for him certainly looked like he was successful. God tested him with his dollars, and he drove it to the church to make sure the church had it there. Tithe and offering. See, it just warmed my heart. I don't know what the dollar amount is. It doesn't matter. It's none of my concern. I just took it into the church office and put it in there and said, bless God. Wow. See, that's the test. That's what God does for you. God will test your faith through delay. Oh, wow. I think this is my personal one right here. Delay. We always want it so fast. You're sitting there right now saying, that's exactly right. I want this now. And God, that's the patient part. Delay, delay, delay. Faith building, faith building, faith building. Delay, delay. What's the purpose of the pursuit? Delay. Why? Test me. Am I worthy of the outcome of the reward of the pursuit? Where's my heart? The pursuit is not always about the end result, folks, but the process along the way. See, God does amazing things during the pursuit. If you grab Tim Longbreak when you see him back in town here in a few weeks, he'll tell you that exact same story. See, it was the pursuit that changed his life. He made a comment to me as we got off the phone. He said, Pastor says, I've never felt more at home than I do today. Why is that, Tim? Because I'm with my wife. See, what a powerful statement as our music team prepares to come back to our platform. What a powerful statement. He's at home. He learned so much by the pursuit, and the pursuit was to at least spend some time and see his wife who had been away for a while. And the pursuit gave him the reward at the end to see his wife and how that all happened. You know, church, I'm praying for you that your pursuit during this time and as we launch this series on pursuit, I'm praying that you grab onto it, that you say this thing they call the new normal, I'm going to pursue a new normal for me. And that looks like what God wants, not what this government says or who says. I am challenging you today that this new normal, that you pursue a new normal in your life, and what that looks like is exactly what God wants it to look like. What does this active pursuit of God look like in your new normal? What's that going to look like? What's that look like for you? What's that look like for me? You know, your pursuit's going to take some effort. It's going to take some energy. It'll take some time. It's going to take some focus. It's going to take some drive. It's going to take work. It's going to take work. But you're going to be amazed what happens in your personal life in the next 4 weeks, starting today. We launch officially a fast, an all-church fast for 21 days, and from this day until the 7th of June, the weeks to come, your life is going to change. You're going to be different when you walk in here on the 7th as you pursue God in a new normal way. What does that mean? That means it's going to look completely different than when it was. It's going to be so much better, so much more powerful. You're going to be re-energized. God's going to do something special for you. Something's going to happen if you just pursue Him. Your new normal is going to be this new, awesome relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But listen to this thought as we wind things up. It's a lot easier to sit and do nothing than to get up and do something. In the weeks to come, as we pray and we fast, I'm going to pray as your pastor that you do something different than you did before. If you do something that you haven't done before, watch what God does for you. There's your new normal. That's the pursuit I'm praying for you to have today. Pursue something bigger and better than you've ever had. Don't settle for second best. Go after what God's calling you to do. Do something and watch what God does for you. Let's pray together. And that's my prayer for you today. Do something and watch what God does for you. Father God, I pray right now that you just activate this pursuit in the lives of everyone that's watching online today. I pray, God, that you pour out this passion of pursuing you in a greater way, that their new normal looks different than it was 3 months ago, but not from a natural perspective, but from a supernatural perspective. Spiritually in each and every one of us. Lord God, I don't want it the way it used to be. I want to pursue something new that you're going to bless me with. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray all things, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God, let us pursue you bigger and better than ever. In your name, amen. We love you here at Calvary Church. We're praying for you. Start your prayer and fasting and believe that your pursuit today is going to be the best few weeks of your life. God bless you.